When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, you guys, let me just ask you this. If you had to put a fine point on, you know, the greatest symbol of the American dream, most people would say it's owning a home, right? I mean, a place to call your own where you're actually investing in something that's yours and you're no longer throwing away rent money, right? I mean, I can't tell you how many times throughout my moves as I climbed the ladder, I wouldn't even put up my Duran Duran poster. Yes, I had one, because it was like, why am I decorating a place that I don't even own? Okay, so once you get your own place, you think, this is it, and I own it. Now, when the COVID-19 pandemic hit, it had this really bizarre unintended consequence. It triggered a boom in the housing market as millions of urban dwellers fled their apartments and scooped up homes at a wild pace that 2 years later is still in play, making prices so crazy they're unaffordable and there really isn't a lot of inventory. So now millions of people have turned thumbing through real estate listings into a blood sport, always with the question, should you buy an existing home and renovate it or build a new one from the ground up? So my guests today have turned this predicament into major success. Twin brothers Chris and Calvin Lamont are two guys who started a janitorial business and then morphed it into a real estate concept that has landed them a coveted slot on HGTV. Their show, Buy It or Build It, is now a must-see TV show for the legions of Americans making the big decision. I am so dying to know how they went from cleaning buildings to becoming TV stars. So let's welcome Chris and Calvin Lamont to Everyone Talks to Liz. Hi, guys.
Hey, Liz.
Wow, that was an amazing introduction, Liz. I'm so humbled to be here. Thank you for having us.
Well, it's easy with you guys and your story. I mean, twin brothers who both went to Lehigh University. And I need right off the bat to know, Chris, you're the buy it guy, right? And Calvin, you're the build it brother?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes.
I just had to get that out of the way.
I'm the buy-in brother, and I'm the one that's trying to champion for the remodel, right? Which is, like you just said, Liz, before in the introduction.
Yeah.
Buy or build it is something that we try to do every single day. Everybody's trying to figure that out every day. And obviously, the buy it seems more of an option for people. Mm-hmm. But we hope this show gives you another way to see it, because building it is also a cool way, too.
Well, some people are now really pushed into doing that because, you guys, I mean, there just isn't the inventory. I mean, well, I've been covering this on my show constantly, especially since the pandemic began. So I want to sort of back up here because I almost find the first part of your story more interesting because it fits in so well with what we talk about here. And that is how you were two twin brothers in college, same one, Lehigh. Because you couldn't break away from each other, right? I mean, really?
Well, football,
come on, right? Come on, Chris, get away from me.
And on top of
Calvin was the first one there for sure, and then I jumped on after that. I will say that. So
okay.
You got me on that one.
All right. So
I committed first, Liz.
Okay, so you committed first, and then in comes Chris and says, "Hey, bro, you can't get rid of me that fast, right?" And on top of it, how did you both get onto the football team? So what positions did you play and how did that happen?
Well, we're pretty good in football. We might look a little smaller now, Liz, but we were pretty good football players, especially, you know, our high school team was pretty good, Piscataway High School in New Jersey. But, you know, we really thought, you know, as any young kid, you want to be an athlete before anything, right? So football was something that we really enjoyed, and it gave us the opportunity to go to a really good college at Lehigh University. Mm-hmm. So we appreciated that. But in terms of football, we treat everything the same. It was full dedication to football along with education, and that allowed us to go to a Division I school that also had good education. So we were happy about that.
Lehigh is a very, very tough school to get into now. I've got a senior in high school, and, you know, this is a private school in New York City, and they're like, Lehigh, Lehigh. I mean, it has really, really risen to the top. Why are you guys laughing?
No, because it's always been that way. First off, I'm sure you said your son, right, Liz?
Yeah.
I'm sure your son's going to get in. I'm going to just let him know. The Lamont brothers and get a little nudge. But okay. I'm playing around, but being serious though, we were blessed to get in. It was, I'm not going to lie and say football did have, give us the opportunity to actually go, even though we're great academics and stuff like that, but football was another thing that helped us out as well too. So that was, it was very difficult to get in mm-hmm. back in 2003 also. When we sure. got up in there, so
and so you're definitely. Both you're both thinking, oh man, we are so going to the NFL, and we are so getting our Lambos, etc. And then you realize, wait a minute, I'm not Marcus Allen, okay? Because that's my era, Doki Williams, Marcus
USC,
Allen.
USC,
I'm not Lawrence Taylor, right? I'm not Lawrence Taylor. I was 6 foot. I was my senior year. I lost a lot of weight. I got sick. I was 6 foot. Maybe 185 pounds, 190, playing outside linebacker, Division I football.
Linebacker.
So, I still got player of the year in my college, in my school, but once again, it's just can't do it. But Calvin and I really, we know there's a lot of people. By the time we got to college, we're a little bit older at that point.
Yeah.
We understood that people are going to go to the NFL, and that's great. But Calvin and I were intentional mm-hmm. of being those people that wanted to show that you can do real estate, you can do other things.
Yes.
So Calvin and I never thought about getting out, doing a business. I mean, like going to get a job mm-hmm. after school. We went right down to Texas and started working, rocking and rolling.
Well, Calvin, let me get to that because you both could have gotten jobs quite easily. You were highly educated. And yet you kind of had that entrepreneurial spirit in you thinking, boy, if we take a job in an established company, we might be stuck there forever. Let's start our own thing. So you take what? You only had about $4,000 between the two of you. You go to Dallas to start a janitor company. How did that happen?
Wow, you took the words out of my mouth. Exactly. It was, we moved down here and we didn't want to get stuck in. I say stuck because I'm not saying people are stuck. We didn't want to get too comfortable
sure.
by making that great salary coming out of school mm-hmm. and starting to buy some of those things that would put you in a position to where you can't sacrifice as much and be as
golden handcuffs.
Exactly. So what we did was when we came down here, it was during the recession. Mm-hmm. So at that time we wanted to do real estate. Our eyes was 100% on real estate, but as we seen real quick, with no experience, not any real money, because $4,000 was gone really, really fast. When we started up the company name and did a couple of little things, I was pretty much gone, just trying to live out here. So we soon realized because of the current market at that time and that recession, we had to make a pivot. And that's everything that Chris and I do in our whole life. We pivot and we adapt to the certain situations and circumstances, mm-hmm. but we never just fold up. So that's when the idea of, what's something that has a low barriers of entry that is still kind of like in the industry of building and construction. So we said, let's start from the bottom and let's start up a commercial janitorial and commercial cleaning company. And we did that like right out of college or maybe a year or two after we got down in Texas. And then we just kind of built from there. Liz, we started that. And then maybe a couple of years later,
We
started that.
You don't get to jump to a couple years later. not with me.
She went to Heartache and Pain.
Nah, Liz don't want the regular interview. She wants the detail. Okay.
I want to hear about how you learned how to be janitors and to run that kind of business. I mean, Chris, did you clean your room in elementary school? I mean, did you get good at this?
If you ask my mom, she called me number one bum. That's my mom called me. So obviously it was a learning curve for me to start doing things to make things clean, right? The funny part about it is when we came down here, when Cal said we want to do real estate, but we said, what's the, easiest way enter to, easiest way to get into it, like low entry to barriers, right? Yep. Barrier to entry, I mean. So we wanted to make sure that, because we didn't have a lot of money, but we were able to get a couple thousand dollars from my dad and our uncles. So we were able to pull that together. We got a truck. we were able to put together, you know, some cleaning equipment that can do commercial and residential. Okay. And we had Chris and Cal on that truck with a couple other guys just with their work ethic. And we took that work ethic and we just worked hard. And we understood that cleaning is something that is subjective, but also just through hard work. So we knew that's something that we can jump into.
And we more focused because come out of Lehigh University, we were more focused on the contracts. So in the beginning, we were working with, you know what I mean? Chris and I going to working with the cities, doing doing more. And this is where everything kind of connected, Liz. Okay. We were doing something called Make Ready Cleans. So Chris and I were definitely working with schools and banks and commercial buildings. Okay. And then also we realized real quick, Liz, that, well, those contracts take a long time to get paid and we need money now. That's when we pivoted to doing a residential carpet cleaning and cleaning too. Soon we learned that, okay, it's nice to do these big contracts, but we're not getting paid to 30, 45 days out. We have 20, 25 employees with all these, you know, all the cost of payroll and stuff like that. That's when we pivoted and said, we're going to need more money on a day-to-day basis. And that once again, we're saying, okay, well, what do you need in real life? It looks good to have all the contracts, but if you're not getting paid on those, how are you going to live day to day? And that's when we said, well, let's start up this section of the company that brings us more day to day income.
Well, see, you know, you either turn belly up because you don't get the money flowing in, or you, as you say, you morph, you pivot. The going gets tough, the tough get going. Did you have any early fails? You know, where you stained carpets by accident as you were trying to clean them? I mean, where did you really have your learning curve tested?
Well, the first failure we had when we first came down here thinking we were going to do real estate, right, Liz? Like, so that's the first one, right? Sure. Like, okay, we're coming down here. We're going to do real estate. Ain't they not? So
yeah, that's a big, like, wow. That's
exactly. So that was a big hit right there. And at that point, we were like really college people. So we were writing a lot of like plans. And you know how it is when you come out of college, right? Everything be brain and we writing stuff down and doing all those things.
Yeah.
But at one point, like we even, you know, this is like we had to do a lot of things to get to this, you know, to get to a point where we can survive every day. So as you said, this pivoting, if I told any business person, you really don't fail unless you quit. Especially in a small business where there's nobody telling you that you have to be anything, right? You don't have a brand yet or anything. You're trying to survive.
Right. And that's true. Say that again. You really don't fail until you quit. When you quit, then you solidify a failure. But just because you stumble and fall doesn't mean that's a failure, right, guys?
Exactly. Like we come in there, let's say you go in there, Cal, let's say you go in there with the carpet, right? We're talking about specifically carpet cleaning or something. They call you, you go in there, you do it. They say it might not be dry enough. It couldn't stain, whatever have you. Customer service and everything you do will lead you to the next thing. We found out that by that customer service, we started having clients that would come back to us every 6 months, every 3 months to get that carpet clean. Basically when they didn't even need it, right? Just helping us out and getting things done. So, you know, that was a good part.
Because you were just so delightful. Yeah.
And then right after that, we started saying, okay, well, we need to make more money and we need to make more money faster in larger amounts of money, right?
Yes.
Because the janitorial industry at that time was going down when it comes to the payments and what they were getting paid, I guess, on a commercial level. Mm-hmm. So we said, you know what? All right, what can we do? And we looked at water damage and fire and storm restoration. And that's, I think that's one of the most important things that Chris and I have done to get us to this point today, because that allowed us to accumulate the funds we needed to, you know, and then the skills and the experience and the connections and all those things to be able to really take us back into exactly where we wanted to be, which was real estate development and investment and building.
And Liz, because we didn't, you know, come out of college too young, let's be real, Black brothers trying to get a loan for anything is very difficult, especially when you're 22 years old, 23 years old.
Did you try?
We went around, tried. We weren't going to be able to get it coming out of school. We just couldn't. They weren't trying to give us money for the business, but I'm happy they did it, because what happens is with these new businesses, you need to be working at bare minimum. Obviously, if you're doing, you know, tech or if you're building a program, that's something different, right? But if you're doing a business where you're trying to grow it, I think the less money you have, is a benefit sometimes, because what happens is you find yourself throwing money to situations and you think you need stuff, you're buying all this extra stuff, and then all of a sudden you don't have any more money left and you're not getting that money back in 10 years.
Oh, hold up, because that's fascinating to me. In fact, you know, rarely have I heard people say, I am glad I didn't get the loan. So I want our listeners to understand this and say that in and of itself, that was a formulative and a formative experience for you guys to understand you had to run lean and mean and thin because you didn't have the bank flowing you money and then asking for it back. So that's fascinating to me. This is Everyone Talks to Liz, and we'll be right back. I know a lot of you have had this experience because for those of us who in 2020 were all sent home and we were stuck in a lockdown during the pandemic, we had a lot of time on our hands, and I saw an ad for Masterclass and I thought, I want to better myself. I want access to all of these brilliant people who teach you things. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with more than 200 plus of the world's best and smartest. For just under 10 bucks a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And I don't care, you can wake up one morning and say, I want to learn about business. And then another where you say, I want to learn how to survive in the wild if I have no water and no fire to make me warm. You can access Masterclass on your phone, on your computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. And the classes totally make a difference. Don't wait another moment to start your learning journey with Masterclass. Right now, our listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/Liz. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/Liz. Masterclass.com/Liz. Bring me to 2015 when you began buying and renovating homes. How did that start?
Okay. So this is Cal talking. I'll just hop in on this one, Chris. So in 2015, fast forward 2015, we've been certified in water damage and fire restoration. We're making good money there. Mm-hmm. And now we're connecting with investors and working on their properties and working with equity firms. And now we have the skills to rebuild houses and do all these things and have a little cash on us. And we're almost quote unquote loanable now, right? 5 years or 3 or 4 years later, now we can go to the bank and really start to ask for them to work with us. And that's what we started to do. So in 2015, Chris and I began to look and buy our own properties. And that's when we bought our first property in a suburb in Lakewood, a suburb in Lakewood, Texas, in Dallas. And we bought a lot, amazing lot for under $100,000, like $98,000. Right now, it'd probably be like $350,000 for that same lot, just to let you guys know. So this is one lot that we bought maybe like 25 over there. We're known as the quote unquote property brothers in that area.
Okay, you skipped the part though, Cal. You skipped the part a little bit.
Give me a picture.
So we talked about being loanable, and this, I'm doing this because I want to, you know, this is a podcast of business, right? So let's talk a little business and get these guys understanding how it works a little bit, right?
Chris, your phone is dying out a little bit.
Let's start that again. Okay, Chris, start that sentence again. Go ahead.
All right. So I just want, Cal, you know, this is business. So Fox Business, we want to make sure that we have the business acumen and people can understand how you adapt during the situations, right? So when we were doing houses for other people, we're always intentional. We're looking at who they use for their banks, because we were doing, you know, there were flippers and we were building for flippers at this point. So as we did that, we were just learning, and then they would see our name, our construction company's name on all of the draws and stuff. So we immediately started talking to those banks and private equity lenders. Mm-hmm. So therefore they were like, you know what, Chris and Cal, we like who you are. We know you can build the houses. And if you guys get investors, we're ready to go. So once we were able to find some investors we started teaching classes about flipping and all those things, we were able to get, you know, investors to come with us and help us build these houses until, you know, we started doing it ourselves. But we always bring investors in sometimes for our flips, but we don't flip as much anymore.
Well, you're licensed contractors and interior designers. And so you really fit this fascinating zeitgeist that the country is facing at the moment of, do you buy an existing home and then renovate it and remodel it, or do you build it from the ground up? And make it exactly how you really want it to be. And the mm-hmm. price differential is something to take into consideration. So as you become experts in this, how the heck did you get on HGTV's radar?
That goes back to 2015 also. So, and then we learned how to design and build through working with investors, because they'll pretty much say, Kristen Calvin, here it is. You guys go and let me know when it's done. And we were, and then at one point we were like, Chris, the only thing we're not doing is putting our name on these things. Let's go ahead and make the next step.
Okay.
And that's why we took the leap of faith. So that, once again, real quick, that's taking that leap of faith in industries and things that you haven't done before. But of course, Chris and I, that was always our goal. But with the show Buy to Build It, right? And of course, the economy right now going on with Buy to Build It and the day-to-day life and on TV.
Yes.
It was kind of cool. At first in 2015, the show was nowhere near the concept it was now, Liz. It was more the Lamont brothers flipping houses, because that's what we did more of, like 90% of back in 2015 and 2016 was flipping houses.
Mm-hmm.
And then at those times when we were at the, when we met the production company that kind of introduced us to the network, we shot a few times and we were just told, okay, not yet, not yet. So after four not yets, from 2015, yes, Liz, exactly. Never give up, guys.
That's right.
Never give up. So after four not yets from the network, in 2020, they came back one last time and said, okay, guys, we want to have Kristen Calvin. We love them, but we just need, we want to see something a little different. So that's when the concept came up of Buy to Build It, because now at this point, Chris and I were buying all these lots all around Dallas and other cities around the country. And we build entry-level and workforce houses in our day-to-day business. So we're taking that. Then we also build million-dollar homes and stuff like that. And we also build for clients. And we also flip. So now they're saying, okay, you do both these things. Let's incorporate those things you do in your day-to-day. And then let's make it to a show. And then you guys are twins. You guys compete. So Buy to Build It. Chris or Calvin. And then how they chose it, it was kind of like a flip of coin.
Oh,
Chris, you'll be the Buy It brother.
God.
Calvin, you'll be the Build It brother. Because we can do both. To be honest, Liz, me and Chris can both be out of our house.
Good.
And Liz, to be honest with you, I just bought a lot the other day. I'm about to build my own house.
And Chris is a builder. Anyway. Thanks, Chris. He's on my team. Chris just bought a lot and he's team building.
Yep. And you guys are now, I mean, the show just launched and you are famous. Are you like not taking your parents' calls now? Are you like, no, speak to my assistant.
Never that. Mom and dad. You know how that is, right? We're kind of humble. We're football players at heart, right? So at the end of the day, we do our job and we want to do it at the best of our abilities. So that's why we hope when you watch the show, you can even see the growth in the show the same way as we try to grow through our businesses, mm-hmm. right? We want to show growth and show people that, you know, you get started at some point, but no matter where you start, you got to get better. But we kind of cheated, Liz.
I was going to say we kind of cheated, Cal, because
with those four no's, we actually took experience from every one of those shoots with good directors and good showrunners, and we built on that. So therefore, when the big dogs came, Lauren and Steven, that did Fixer Upper, you know what I'm saying? So when they came in, say again?
Chip and Joan. Joanne. Chip and Joanne. Yeah.
Chip and Joanne.
Right.
And Magnolia.
Yeah.
When they came,
I'm sorry, Chris, your phone totally went out on that one.
Oh, my bad. Go ahead, Cal.
So I'll just pick up from where Chris said. So exactly, Liz. Chip and Joanne, we were blessed to get those showrunners, so they were able to kind of, you know, form our show and take it to a level that we hope people out there enjoy. And then just talking about business real quick, when it comes to buying and building it, like Chris just said, he just bought a lot because he's building a house in the area. And every time we deal with our clients, Liz, and any families on the show on a day-to-day, we let them know when you're buying a house or building a house, and especially buying it to remodel, you need to think about a few things. Of course, what is your life going to be in the future, and while you're building it? Are you going to be able to live somewhere else? Are you going to be able to afford two payments? Mm-hmm. If there's delays, where are you going to stay? You know, if the budget goes over, are you able to sacrifice here or there? You know, so there's a lot of things when you're buying, and then also your loans, right? If you're building a house, does that include how much money do you need down payment? Do you need extra money to start the construction to receive it back? When does your interest payments and your mortgage start on that, on those loans? So there's so many things that you need to consider.
Absolutely.
So me and Chris always say, slow down and speed up. And that will allow you to get all your ducks in a row so you don't have to be shocked and get thrown off.
And Cal's not trying to scare anybody. Cal's not trying to scare you. Just trying to let you know that it takes. But the thing is, though, the buy it process and the build it process can be on a remodel. When you're buying it to remodel, mm-hmm. a build can be cheaper at sometimes than the remodel when you buy a house.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And I learned that because we were looking and somebody said, well, you know, you can just get a construction loan and build it exactly how you want to do it. And people don't understand that. They think it's a much more daunting and expensive venture, but sometimes it actually works out to be a little less, doesn't it?
For me, it's the exact point. I'm literally, first of all, every single person trying to buy a house, right? So I was just in it for the last 2 years. It's taken me 2 years because of even my thought was, you know what, let me get in something a little bit faster. So let's just go ahead and do a buy type of house and then remodel it. But in this kind of market today, it's difficult because the appraisers will not hit the cost of what that the purchase of the home was. Does that make sense, Liz?
Yes.
So if I bought the house for $300,000, I mean, let's say I bought it for $400,000, but the value is only $350,000. So I'm going to have to put that $50,000 up at closing because you're not going to get that appraisal for it. And then you're going to have to hold your house longer to make sure that money comes back. Because if you sold it immediately, you will lose that money, right?
Right.
So that was the hard part about buying it right now. So I went over to the building to where when you're building a house, obviously location is going to be a little different because there's not going to be a lot everywhere.
Yes.
So location is always a little bit of an issue when you're building it. So those are like the give and takes. But I'm going to be able to have more value in the new construction because I'm a builder. But even if I wasn't a builder, I would still have more value locked into this home rather than buying it after it was built.
Do you guys find that the clients that you have on the television show lean one way all the time? Do they, just because they're biased, perhaps they lean to the buy it and renovate it versus the build it?
I think just because of just what I think they lean more towards buy it just mm-hmm. because of most of them have families and their young ones and it's time
yes.
to consider. But you know, soon you explain to them and kind of educate them a little bit about the process. And if you're not going to live into this remodel anyway, so it's going to be pretty much. So it's just, it's about educating them. But in my opinion, they do lean towards buy it, the ones that we encounter more, unless they're already looking to do something custom.
How much fun is it to have the sibling rivalry? I mean, Chris, you're the buy it guy. Calvin, you're the build it brother. And you've got this rivalry of, oh, I want him to come to my side, not his side.
It's a rivalry for brothers, so we compete. But at the end of the day, you know, it's their house. So like just like the last episode with Damien and Symphony, like when we had a baby pop out literally in the middle of shooting, she's like, I'm not waiting for no house. I'm living with my parents. I'm going into a buy house immediately. So I actually, that's kind of cheating on my part when the baby pop out and they got two kids already, right?
Yeah, some things you just can't wait for.
Well, life happens. Absolutely. I want to end on this because we began with the whole idea that the American dream, if you had a symbol of it, it's a home. It's home ownership. You guys aren't just sitting there trying to make a buck or trying to be famous. You've both talked about wanting to make home buying more inclusive. How are you working toward that goal?
That's a big goal. Thank you for asking that, Liz. I'll go first, Cal. You go second. We'll both do parts of this. Can I go first, Cal?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. So the biggest thing is that when we started, we wanted to start at a high level. So therefore, no one questioned what we do. That makes sense. So we wanted to make sure we can build $1 million homes. We can build nice things. We can do those things. But then we wanted to also be able to take from those things and give it to the first time home buyer entry level. And that's important to us because, especially in America right now, when we go in, and as flippers, we realized this, when we went into places that had a house that was worth $200,000 or $250,000, the developers are going, especially in Dallas, because we're a big city, we're going into these areas, tearing them down and building $1 million homes. So what we decided to do is we can't help that in an area that's not, you know, restricted through, you know, government and stuff. You can do what you want. So when a big company comes in and does that, it is what it is. But there are areas in every city like we work in now that are up and coming and that need the help. So we work with the cities directly. We're very passionate about it. The cities understand who we are, even more now after HGTV. and we're able to get lots. We have a lot. Our designers that you see on TV, these are real designers, right? They actually design our houses with us as well.
Great.
We come together and we're able to provide a unique entry level place that we call it almost like an apartment type of house, right? So you get those same kind of features that you get to your luxury apartment. So right. We wanted to bring that to the first time home buyer. And that's why we work so hard with cities directly. Right now we're in like Georgia, we're in like Augusta, we're in Dallas, we're moving to the St. Louis area as well. Our goal is to get 5,000 lots up and rented and sold within the next 5 to 7 years. And we're really excited about it.
Mm. Cal?
You see who talk more, right, Liz?
Yeah. I noticed that, Calvin. I did.
Well, on TV, Liz, on TV, he do all the talking.
Hey, look, when that camera's on, I got to shine, Liz. I love this conversation, Liz, because it's home ownership awareness month too. So it's a perfect time for this, right?
Yeah.
So just to kind of belly off what Chris just said, us working with the cities and being able to procure lots through the city and through private purchase. Mm-hmm. Let me say that again. So through working with the cities and being able to purchase lots through the cities and through private purchases, we're able to plan and develop more, which allows us to create these cool and awesome designs. Mm-hmm. But also allows us to be able to find ways through certain TIFs and government tax breaks and things like that to be able to build and lower the cost, and then also be able to now sell the homes with equity in them.
Nice.
So right now we're able to sell our home for under $275,000, in some cases under $250,000, when the average home in the area is around $300,000 plus. So we're just happy to be able to sell those homes. And also we lease homes too, because leasing homes allows us to get these people into the communities to kind of give it like a test drive. They can live in the communities. And also we're able to overbuild them houses a little more because we're not selling them and we don't need them to appraise. So we're able to do them a little nicer. We might build some duplexes and lease them out and really, really build them nice. And then that's how we start to build back the community also, because we want to build for the future and not for the past.
I want to end on this. What message do you both have for the point in many of our listeners' lives where they're trying so hard and it's just somehow not working out? Their dream of building a business is stumbling and falling, and they're really struggling. Chris, you go first and then Cal. What's your advice?
I would say that, once again, failure isn't going to hit you until you decide to quit. But that does not mean you cannot adapt. You will fail if you don't adapt at the same time. So I would say that you have to look at yourself in three different ways. Short term, how do I live tomorrow? Medium term, how do I live next year or the next 2 or 3 months? And then that long term, how do I get this business to be able to have employees to where I'm not working as much and it's paying me without doing that? So it's about adaptation. Be able to look at yourself in the mirror and actually say, you know what, this isn't working. Let me make an adjustment. Let me make a change now before it's too late.
Cal?
That's a good one, Chris. I'm going to say this humbly, be humble. I'm saying this from experience. My brother and I, we quit our jobs and we had like little side jobs and we were 100% in our business and had no other things we were making money on.
Mm-hmm.
If I would say something, I would say there's nothing wrong with having a second job or something that you have to be able to continue your business, to keep it alive for you. Because the longer you stay open, the more possibility you have for success, because it only takes one opportunity to get that contract, to get that huge deal or that product that you really wanted to do or that patent. So what I say is be humble sometimes. Just because you have to do something else doesn't mean your dream is over. Keep working at it.
Oh, it is such a pleasure to talk to you two. Guys, thank you so much. The show airs 9 p.m. Eastern on Wednesdays on HGTV. And guys, I have one thing to say to you. Jonathan and Drew Scott, who?
I love those guys. I know, so do I.
So do I. But
we appreciate you, Liz. Thank you so much. Thank you. We're so humble.
Chris at Cal Lamont, I love your story. It's fantastic. And I wish you the best of success, although you don't need it. And oh my gosh, you're on TV. That was amazing. I can't wait to watch the show. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Liz. I appreciate you so much.
Is that not an amazing story that fits perfectly into Everyone Talks to Liz? How they, you know, what they just said. It's okay. So what? All of our fancy friends in college, you know, that, well, you're running a janitor business. So what? Look at them now in a short period of time, just by having the passion and the persistence. They are now living the dream of being on television and proselytizing about how they feel about home ownership. I am so appreciative to all of you for listening every single week to Everyone Talks to Liz. We are just snowballing. We started off small, just like the Lamont brothers did, and we're bigger than ever now. So thanks so much. I'll see you 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox Business.
It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.